Where did the idea of making a film from within the Manus Island facility start?
2 years ago, I attended a workshop run by Abbas Kiarostami, the Iranian filmmaker, and it was held in Barcelona. The topic of the workshop was the sea. In that workshop, there was a school teacher in a school in Barcelona. I got in touch with the teacher and we decided to engage with the kids on the subject of what their view is of the sea. The workshop ran well. The kids expressed some really interesting views about what their perspective was about the sea, how it made them feel. When I returned back to Holland, I asked myself, so what would other kids think, what feelings would they have about the sea? So I started to ask the question about kids around the world in other situations. And then that led me to think about what people seeking asylum thought about the sea. In particular, the people fleeing their countries to cross the Mediterranean to get to Europe. So it's the same sea that the children in Barcelona were thinking about. However, the perspectives, their interaction with it is completely different. That led me then to think about the children in Nauru. What would their perspectives be like? To what degree would it be similar to the children in Barcelona? I thought it would be important to make a film about detention center in Nauru. I thought, how would I get in touch with the children? And it was extremely difficult. There were privacy issues. There was also a very strong sense of fear. The children obviously would be really concerned about what impact that would have on their situation. The parents would be afraid about how it would affect the children and also their claims for refugee status as well. Then through that, thinking about that, investigating the issue in Nauru, I found Behruz. I found his journalism online. And then I thought to myself, if I can't make a film about the children in Nauru, I've got to make one about Manus Island.
How did the style and the view of cinema of Abbas Kiarostami inform what you tried to do here?
First of all, I have deep respect for Abbas Kiarostami. He's had a personal and an artistic influence on me. What's interesting is that Behruz also loves Kiarostami. So Abbas Kiarostami is right throughout this film. He's there. But the film is extremely different than the kinds of film that he makes. Abbas Kiarostami focuses on creating a frame. He doesn't really focus on critique. He avoids including his own critique in the film. He's more about creating a picture. Our film is quite different. It does have that element of critique in it. What was a major influence was the way that he works with untrained actors. And Behruz got this immediately. He understood basically that this was part of the Kiarostami legacy to do this. And it wasn't easy. It's not easy to work with amateur actors. Even here in Australia, with all the opportunities that are here, it's still really difficult, let alone in the detention centre. So Abbas Kiarostami's style helped when it came to working with untrained actors. The other thing that was extremely important in terms of Kiarostami's influence was that his encouragement in terms of making an independent film. This film, I'll say with complete confidence, is the most independent film that can possibly be made. No film has been made in this way in the history of cinema. The film was me, Behruz, and a smartphone. No budget at all. You can't get any more independent than that. Kiarostami gave me the confidence to make this film. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't have been able to approach it with the same amount of certainty. And I think his method of creating images also influenced me to the extent that I kind of left my dependence on technology and focused on creating images. Well, that's why I was able to make a film like this with no budget, because I realized that the image was important, not the technology. Imagine a painting. When you encounter it, it evokes a feeling. But then when you look at it in more detail, then it invites you to start thinking more deeply. Our camera in the film wasn't a journalistic kind of camera. It's a camera that wants to introduce a portrait. Kiarostami believed that a film that draws you in by using action and excitement, a film that makes you cry, it plays with your feelings, it's a con. So Kiarostami believed that films should make you think. It's not the film that plays with your emotions. An important film is one that makes you reflect. And because of this, we weren't necessarily afraid of having long, boring shots in the film. We felt that that's fine to have scenes where nothing happens. And we could have put in action scenes that really struck with the audience's emotions. We actually had scenes that included blood and gore in our rough cuts, but we didn't want to use them. And there's a good reason for that. We wanted the spectator to think, even during those boring, drawn-out scenes. That couldn't have been done if the film focused on violence. We wanted the violence to be implicit in what was happening when violence wasn't explicitly in your face. Visible violence shakes you up, but it's the invisible violence that makes you reflect.
Kiarostami often made use of long shots that leave the audience to reflect. Did your use of those in this film relate to the way that time is stretched out for the people on Manus Island with lack of access to the time and indefinite detention?
I think first and foremost, the name of the film is a good reflection of that. Shoka is a Manusian bird that tells the time for the locals. 6 o'clock in the morning, the bird cries out, people know it's time to wake up. In the detention center, the bird is telling the time to people disconnected or disassociated with time. Time really has no meaning anymore. And this is a satirical form of dark criticism. In prison, beatings occur. There's really clear, obvious, in-your-face violence. This stuff happens really quickly. To expose the spectator to this kind of violence, this quick, instant, extreme violence, it makes them lose the plot. The spectator will forget they're actually in Manus. It's too all-encompassing. It absorbs too much of the spectator's attention. Prison is boring. Half an hour feels like 5 hours. And this is what we really wanted to convey in the film. The nature of time in prison is extended. It's the worst thing when you're in prison to have a watch and realize that time isn't moving. So in Manus Island, for instance, in the prison, in the beginning, when the refugees and asylum seekers were first exiled to the island, they experienced extreme forms of violence. And then after that, once they realize that they're in this kind of prison, then they entered the torture of time. And then they realize that this torture, for it to be implemented, all it needs is for time to be extended. The technique of the long shot, making a fixed picture, allows for this experience of the torture of time, extended time, to be communicated.
Did knowing that they were in a film give the refugees a feeling of hope that they could reach out and that someone would hear their voices?
When we started this project, we had a number of actors. We had 2 or 3 different people involved. And then later, they decided that they don't want to be involved anymore. And that was essentially based on fear, on the repercussions of being involved in this film. Then we found some other people who were willing to be involved, and these were Behruz's friends. They basically agreed to be involved in this film because they trusted Behruz. They really didn't have any hope for what the outcome was going to be. It was just based on mateship. They just wanted to tell their story. The people in this film, really, their whole purpose was basically to convey the pain that they were suffering, they were enduring. So, for instance, one of the actors is a father. After he fled Iran, 2 weeks later, his child was born. So he's never seen his child. While he was in the prison, he lost his own father. Because of the events surrounding the loss of his father and trying to come to terms with it, he ended up in the solitary confinement cell, which is called Choka. This person has just endured a lot of pain and he wanted to tell that. There's another one in the film. He has a cataract and they're not attending to it in the prison. So basically he's going blind. One of the prisoners who had his throat slit, when he left Iran, his son was 2 years old. So he's been in this prison and hasn't been able to see his son grow up. And now his wife has left him. And so he's dealing with a whole range of different issues. So basically the people in this film, they're expressing their pain. They had no idea what this film was going to become, how it was going to turn out. When they heard that it was accepted into the Sydney Film Festival and it's getting all the attention that it has, they said, wow, if we knew that, we'd have put more effort in. So these people are extremely brave. Essentially, there was no hope in this film. See, with the actors, it was just really hard to convince them to be involved in this film. You know, they accepted, but then they were worn down by this every day being somehow involved. Continuing with this project was really difficult for them. Basically, their aim is freedom. That's really what they wanted. That's why they wanted to voice their pain. See, someone who has suffered wants to tell someone about it. Narrating this gives them a sense of freedom. The hope for them was that they're able to speak to a larger audience.